Exodus 16, verses 1 to 3. Israel grumbling again. And the emphasis surely is upon the again. But before I go any further, let us remind ourselves, brothers and sisters, I speak to those who are believers, let us remind ourselves of 1 Corinthians 10. Paul tells the Corinthians, he tells us, that these things are written, he said, as examples, as warnings to us. The Hebrews make a big target. The Israelites make many mistakes, commit many sins. But brothers and sisters, I speak for myself, I speak for you, I address you. We must learn from these failures, sins, grumblings of Israel, and draw personal, deep lessons from them, spiritual lessons. Israel grumbles again. This is the 15th day of the second month, verse 1. How quickly they are grumbling again. They're now being led, of course, by God through Moses. They're being led into the wilderness. And they're grumbling and grumbling again. I say again, did they not grumble at the Red Sea? Did they not even grumble in Egypt when the plagues were coming? Did they not grumble at Marah? And here they are again in the desert of sin, and they're grumbling. If only they knew sin, the desert of sin, leading from Elim to Sinai. Sinai, that mount, and it's more than a mountain. It's a mountain literally, but it's a mountain, a pinnacle, a peak in the history of Israel. For at Sinai, God is going to deliver the great and glorious Mosaic covenant. Yes, it is glorious, 2 Corinthians 3. It has no glory now compared to the glory of the new covenant in Christ, but it did have a glory, so much so that Moses' face shone with the glory of it. God came down and visited the Hebrews at Sinai, and they're on the edge of it, and already God is unfolding his covenant to them. Already he's making decrees and promises. We saw that in the previous chapter. He issued laws to them. He gave tremendous promises to them. And here we see the Hebrews in the desert, the whole community grumbling against Moses and Aaron. Again, it's not just Moses and Aaron, of course, it is them, but they're really directing their grumbling against God. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. Look how foolishly, how rashly they speak, how unjust they are, how ungrateful, how absurd, how ridiculous, how sinful is their talk. Did they really want to die with the Egyptians in the plagues in Egypt? Would they really have wanted the angel of death, the avenging angel, to visit them? Did they really want to go back to Egypt? Would they have rather suffered under those judgments? This is all foolish, sinful, wicked talk. Look how they speak. We sat round there in Egypt. We sat round pots of meat. We had it coming out of our ears. We couldn't get in. We had more than we could eat. We ate all the food we wanted. But now you brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. You brought us out here to, deliberately, have you? To starve 2.5 million? Is this what Moses had done? This is nonsense, wicked nonsense. Can they honestly forget so soon the pain, the brick-making, without straw, the slavery, their children dying in the Nile, their abuse by the Egyptians? They were in anguish and cried out in pain. In chorus, they cried out to God in their anguish. But they're forgetting. They're speaking wildly with their lips. You get the Bible speaks of this. Rebels with lips. Forgetting God. Speaking foolishly. Job 2:10. Psalm 106 verse 33. And so on, it goes on. Speaking ill-advisedly. Forgetting God's mercies. You see, I spoke before of the Red Sea, Mara, and so on, and the plagues. You can look at all this as judgments and afflictions, but they're also triumphs for Israel. They forget how God had delivered them in these great events, how quickly they forgot God's revelation of promises and commands and decrees and mercies. I was born in England in 1940, so I'm a child of the Second World War. I don't remember much about it. I remember more of the years after the war, the privations, the rationings, the lack of things. And you know, it's in my psyche still. 70-odd years later, it's still in my psyche. I still act and think and talk with that deep-rooted sense of lack and deprivation in me. And it's not just reading it in books, it's there. And I believe in the generation before me, it was even stronger. The modern generation, they can read about deprivation in the war, they can read about rationing, the lack of food, the needs we had, that we had to make do and mend and so on. But they don't really know it. Now, the Hebrews had passed through the slavery in Egypt. They had passed through the Red Sea. They had seen the Passover and all the rest of it. They knew these things. And yet within weeks, hours it seems, days, they are forgetting it. It cannot be. They're a deliberately willful, sinful people. Psalm 141, keep thou the door of my lips. Remember 1 Corinthians 10, these things are written to warn us. Psalm 78, 17 to 19. Psalm 106, Psalm 103, forget not all his benefits. Psalm 78 speaks of their sin, their willful sin, their rebellions, their demands upon God. They're rewriting their history. They're forgetting God's mercies. There is no prayer here. There is no faith here. There is no hope here. There is no trust here. There's no patience here. I say they're a big target. Brother, sister, are you always prayerful? Do you believe in all the darkest days and nights? Do you give up hope easily? Are you not trusting? Do you lack patience? I rebuke myself. I challenge myself. Beware lest there be in any of us a bitter heart of unbelief. Read Hebrews 3 and 4. Read the letter to the Hebrews. That's what's there. Hebrews 3 and 4, they disobey, they rebel. There is the bitter of heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. We get that in Hebrews 2. I challenge myself and I challenge you, brother. I challenge you, sister. Does trouble drive you to God or away from God? And when afflictions come, do you raise your heart in prayer to God? You raise your heart in prayer to God, or do you raise your fist against God? May God teach us from the Hebrews how sinful it is, how foolish it is, how hurtful it is to God and to ourselves, to Moses and Aaron and all the rest, how wickedly the Hebrews sinned against God. May we learn from them. And may we in our turn, as we meet affliction, as we do even today, may we look to God in prayer, in faith, and hope, in thankfulness for all his mercies past, in trust and confidence that he will make the way of escape. And can he have taught me to trust in his name and thus far have brought me to put me to shame? No, each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to see me right through. May we go in that strength today, brother and sister, and give glory to God in the dark days, in the dark nights, as well as in the sunny hours. May we bring all glory and praise to God by our reaction to the providences of life which God sends to us. The Lord led them into the desert. He had purposes for good, but Israel could not see it. May God give us eyes to see the Lord in his mercies. Amen.